Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna shout!
Bills Mafia, what is up? It is Tuesday afternoon. Feeling real good to have Mr. Ryan Talbot back in the pilot seat, the co-pilot seat. I don't know how I'd really refer to that there, but it's good to see you, my friend. This is the Shout Buffalo Bills football podcast brought to you by Topps Friendly Markets, your neighborhood store with more, and Topps Fresh Burger Bar. If you haven't heard, with over 30 varieties of beef, turkey, chicken, plant-based and gourmet blend burgers ready to grill. Topps Fresh Burger Bar has you smiling all summer long. Ryan Talbot, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for running the show without me yesterday. My son had a great ninth birthday, and thank you for the well wishes. I saw a few people in the comments. I saw you on the video, Matt, so glad to be back, though.
It is good to have you back, and we got a new batch of observations to dive into on this Tuesday afternoon. The Bills practice today. A little rain at the start. Sean McDermott came out in practice and had shorts on. And usually he's got the long pants on and the bucket hat, but he was ready for the rain. And then the rain stopped. And so he went back inside, put the pants back on, and came back out to finish coaching practice. But it was a run-heavy day. We're going to get into some of the nice performances, but I'm sure you've started to comb through what's been, you know, reported so far today. What stood out to you, Ryan?
Well, I think it's the run game itself, Matt, because it seems like every day that we're talking about this offense, it's the passing game. It's what Josh Allen did. It's what Stephon Diggs did, Gabe Davis, Jake Kumerow. And, you know, Kumerow especially had a nice day today as well. We can get to that. But the run game has been pretty quiet. It was pretty quiet at the scrimmage on Saturday. So it's nice to hear that they're starting to really focus in and dive in on that run game a little bit, because it is going to be an important part to this offense. Obviously, they're still going to be a very pass-heavy team. But if they can get positive yards on the ground, it's going to make life that much easier for Josh Allen and company. So tell us a little bit about the day that Devin Singletary and Matt Breida had, Matt.
Yeah, it was all Devin Singletary and Matt Breida really today that stood out. And I featured them in my observation story, which you can go read Syracuse.com and NewYorkUpstate.com. Zach Moss started the practice and then he left. He wasn't anywhere to be found during team drills, which obviously leaves with a guy out of the mix. It's going to be more opportunities for everybody else. And I feel like Devin Singletary really showcased what he can do. He reminded everybody a little bit just who the heck he is. I mean, you think back to his rookie year, Ryan. This is a guy that, you know, we've covered on this podcast multiple times. He had vision. He had, you know, bounce ability in the hole off tacklers. I really appreciated that. As a smaller stature back, what we saw from him as a rookie, I thought was really encouraging. And, you know, last year, you know, the yards per carry dipped a little bit, but I still think there's a lot to like about Devin Singletary's game. And I think we saw that on display on the practice field today. Did a lot of damage in between the tackles. He was patient. He used that vision that we talked about. And we're continuing to see the explosion from him, which I think important this time of year. He's coming in, you know, a souped up version of himself. We've all seen the really cool, body shots of him where he's basically showcasing the work he's done in the training room this off season. And that's important too, you know, knowing that the dedication he is and maybe a little bit more durable that he'll be this year, because we talk about Zach Moss not being able to stay healthy, you know, not only with the Bills, but in college at Utah. You know, Devin Singletary's had a little bit of an injury issue as well over the course of his career. Just keeping some of the nagging stuff out of the equation. So really nice day for him. One run in particular, he saw a really nice hole and bounced off a couple of tacklers. It wasn't a live portion of practice, but they definitely were out there looking to thud up in a very significant way. So I think this was a good practice, good hard-nosed practice a couple days before the preseason game on Friday. Also, Matt Breida. We've talked about his speed a few times during these shows after practice, and the speed was on display today. He got a chance to really mix it up today, and it's funny. We'll get into the offensive line, defensive line over the course of a pretty long practice. I mean, they started at 10. They finished almost at like 12:15, which is the longest practice that they've had during camp, and there's a lot to dive into on those battles. But I thought from a run blocking perspective, consistently across the line, there was some really good moments. I think that most of it came behind Cody Ford, who did a really good job, I think, in the run game. Mitch Morse and Darrell Williams really stood out in terms of one-on-one matchups that helped lead to some big runs.
Yeah, it sounds like a big day for Singletary first and foremost. Like you said, as a rookie, ended up tying for the league lead in yards per carry with Derrick Henry, obviously significantly less carries there. So we did see flashes of what he could do as a runner. The other area where Devin Singletary has become very solid is in pass protection, picking up those blockers. And even if he's struggling on the ground, that's one reason why the Bills will have him on the field from time to time, is he picks up those blocks if there's someone coming in at Josh Allen. He's been pretty consistent at that. He's bulked up this offseason, so he should be even better. But it's good to hear that he's doing well on the ground, because like you said, Zach Moss injured his hamstring today. So there's a good chance we're going to see Singletary in action on Friday. Sean McDermott kind of said, we're kind of working our way through the process, who's going to play, who's not. You're probably going to have to see Singletary a little bit, Breida a little bit, Antonio Williams, and then obviously Christian Wade. They've got to mix it up somewhat and get these back some reps that I think can be very valuable leading up to the regular season. We know how good this passing offense can be. Don't play Josh Allen at all in this game, in my opinion. If Deion Dawkins is out, don't play Josh. It's that simple. We know this passing game will come out firing this year, just like it did last year without any preseason. But really work on establishing that run. Let Singletary start to get into some kind of groove. Let it be Breida. Let them kind of work on their game so that way come week one, the Bills, despite being more pass heavy, can also have some balance in terms of that successful run game. As for Cody Ford, we've talked about him quite a bit. It sounds like he is firmly establishing himself as the favorite, I guess, is the best way to put it, to start on that offensive line. Ike Butker is not going to go away quietly, but Ford is really putting together a nice camp. Good for him after some of the injuries that he sustained early in his career to come back this year and really look focused on his game.
Yeah, it's early in the process, right? I mean, he's still kind of trying to, as Sean McDermott loves to say, stack good days on good days. And every day that he goes out there, he gets a win. It's a good thing. I thought that, one play in particular in one-on-ones, and we'll get more into those later. I can kind of open up the notebook. And that's the cool thing about watching the show, is that you're going to get a little bit more insight than you will at just reading the observation piece. If you see here, I don't want to put it too close. I don't want to give all the secrets away here, but we got 3.5 pages of notes. I mean, there is, that's a kind of a low day. A lot of days that this thing will be stacked to the gills, that I kind of like to, let this stuff play out over the weeks. But I thought that Cody Ford, he had a tough rep today. It was Justin Zimmer in one-on-ones early in practice. And I think that showed, the speed, the get off of Justin Zimmer to just blow by Cody Ford. It's a tough matchup. I think from an interior pass rusher perspective, Zimmer is on the higher end of quickness and athleticism. I think that's the part of his game where he's really solid. So that matchup against Cody Ford, who's still working his way back, trying to get healthy. It's going to be a process. And I don't think the expectations should be crazy right off the jump. I mean, it's good that he got here at the beginning of camp, being able to go into the 11-on-11 teamwork and start to build from the ground up. We'll see what that means as preseason games go. I would imagine that they'd still like to take that slow. I'd be interested to see Friday night how much Cody Ford plays. But it's good that we're at this stage and we're already talking about Cody Ford. You know, we've seen him pretty predominantly at the right guard position at the two Saturday practices that we can talk about. And so, you know, that's a place where I think he can get real, you know, comfortable at next to Darrell Williams, a guy who, you know, showcased how good he was a year ago.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to for Ford. Don't bounce him around. Don't play him at different positions. Stick him at right guard. Leave him there. Let him really work on his craft at that spot. You know, you just mentioned Darrell Williams by name. His last year in Carolina, they had him start on four of the different offensive line spots throughout the season, and he had the worst year of his career. And it should come as no surprise. If you're playing left tackle, right guard at some point during the season, how can you settle in and really get strong at one specific spot? You can't at the end of the day. So if they really let Ford zero in on that right guard spot, I think you could have a very productive season. Another name you mentioned there, Matt, Justin Zimmer. It sounds like Justin Zimmer and Harrison Phillips had a good day today.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't know how to do this. If anybody does know how to do it, how you could turn, like, I have my eye messages. They come up on my computer screen here when we're doing this. And I just got a text from my wife, and my son's doing basketball camp this week. And so he got home just now. My wife said, "So have you made any friends?" And he said, "Yeah, I have one friend. I like to call him Tim Horton." And my wife goes, "What do you mean? Why do you call him that?" And my son goes, "Because he's really good at basketball." And she's like, "What?" He's like, "You know, the really amazing basketball player, Tim Horton." And my wife goes, "Do you mean Michael Jordan?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah."
You know,
Tim Hortons has some great Timbits, my man. But come on, let's not mess that up. And I know, Ryan, you specifically, you will not be a fan of messing up on Michael Jordan's name.
That's right. Love Michael Jordan. Love Tim Horton, too, a hockey player. And then, obviously, I love the coffee at Tim Hortons. So, yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's always funny to hear what kids have to say and how they can sometimes mess up those names.
So, yeah, thank you so much for watching. A little bit of sidetrack there. Got the numbers popping here on this Tuesday afternoon. Kind of a weird time, 4 o'clock. I know everybody's probably wrapping up their work day, maybe even getting ready for the commute home. We appreciate you spending some of your afternoon with us. We're going to bring you everything that I saw out at practice today. We're going to talk about Justin Zimmer in just a minute here. But before we do, make sure you hit that like button on the video. Let's get those likes up. We got the numbers going here. Hit the subscribe button as well. You guys have been awesome. We're already well over 3,000. My goal is hopefully to get to 5,000 by the opener. It's ambitious, but that's how we are around here on the Shelf Football Podcast. We set goals and we try to achieve them. And so, yeah, let's talk about Justin Zimmer, because you talk about a guy that is, you know, achieving quite a bit of you know, respect and I just think confidence in the room. This is a guy that went out last year and really performed at a high level, and he's come in to training camp and he's fighting for his roster life. I mean, there's not a lot of wiggle room on this defensive line. There's a lot of good players, solid players. And he came out today and he won the matchups that he needs to win. And, you know, I'll talk more about him in a minute. The injury report was embargoed until 4:15. We can now talk about it. Zach Moss left camp practice with a hamstring injury. And this is a significant update here that, you know, we're talking about this before the show, before we went online. How much of an issue is this moving forward if Zach Moss continues to not be available, not be able to stay on the field?
It could be a very big problem. He had some injury history at Utah. He had some injury issues last year. We don't know the severity of the hamstring injury, and I don't want to speculate on that, but maybe this is a move that, at least at the start of the season, Maybe it helps a guy like Antonio Williams, someone we've talked about, get onto this roster. It might be something very minor that he could be back within a week or two as well. So we don't know. There's still some quite a few weeks until the regular season hits, but it's always concerning when you hear that one of your running backs, especially one that I think a lot of fans thought was going to be the number one running backs, quote unquote. I know the Bills said they're going to ride the hot hand, but I think some fans thought that Moss was in line to be the number one running back this year. So for him to leave with a hamstring injury, it's at least concerning until we have specifics on the severity.
Yeah, I'm actually just tweeting it out right now, getting it out to the masses. I think this is an opportunity, of course, for Matt Breida, because I think that he's somebody that the more chances he gets, the probably better off he's going to be, the better he'll look. But I also think it's an opportunity for Antonio Williams. I mean, a hamstring always scares you a little bit. And maybe this is something that was tweaked a little bit, and maybe he went off to get treatment and felt it early on. We'll see how it progresses. But, you know, I see a comment here, AJ over on YouTube, Williams greater than Moss. I don't know if I'd go that far at this stage, but you and me are both comfortably sitting on the Antonio Williams hype train. I mean, I think we both believe in what he can do given an opportunity. And this is the kind of opportunity that a player like that, he has a good chance of going to the preseason for the first time and making it at least a little bit hard to not only cut him, but depending on what happens with Zach Moss, if he's back, that becomes an interesting conversation. Listen, they drafted Zach Moss in the third round. They're not cutting him. But what they're going to do to start the season at least and to get Antonio Williams some more looks, it becomes very interesting.
It becomes extremely interesting. And I think, you know, maybe Antonio Williams is my player to watch on Friday night if I'm the Buffalo Bills or if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. Because, again, we don't know how they're going to break up these reps. We don't know which starters are going to see the field. But if Singletary and Breida see the field, it might be the first quarter. And then I think the bulk of the game is going to be Antonio Williams. It's going to be fan favorite Christian Wade. It might even be Reggie Gilliam, who's listed as a fullback, getting some carries. But these are the opportunities. These are the showcases where Antonio Williams needs to step up and show what he can do, like he did in week 17 against the Dolphins. 2 touchdowns on the ground, 20-yard reception, show that he could do a little bit of both things. This is real competition. Now, it'll be some of Detroit's second and third stringers if he plays in quarters 2, 3, and 4, because they've gone on record saying the starters are going to play the first quarter. But he can still get valuable reps, still put out some quality tape and tell the Bills, listen, if you let me go, I don't think there's a way you're going to get me back on your practice squad. Some other team is going to look at that tape and say, boy, you know, we could use this guy. A team like the Rams, maybe, who lost Cam Akers. It's the preseason is just getting started, so there's going to be some other injuries as well. It's going to be interesting to watch. Keep an eye on Antonio Williams on Friday night versus Detroit.
Indeed. Let's get back to that defensive line because, I mentioned at the top a couple of really good running plays today for the Bills offense, specifically Devin Singletary and Matt Breida. But I have to say, even with those sprinkled in, I thought that if you take the whole body of work from practice today, the defensive line outplayed the offensive line. I think at this stage of where we are at in camp, listen, there's been some, like, you know, John Feliciano didn't practice yesterday. He returned today, didn't seem to play a ton in the team drills. I didn't notice Ed Oliver a lot in team drills. Now, he's not on the team's injury report, but I did not see him out there during team. I saw Jerry Hughes, who, big news there, he did return to practice today, mixed in with the team in teamwork a little bit as well. But, you know, Deion Dawkins has not been there throughout all of training camp. And I think that not having one of your top guys like Dawkins, a rest day yesterday for Morris, not having Feliciano, it's been easy to see this defensive front really having a lot of success. And today, I just think there was a couple times, Ryan, where they just were completely blowing the offensive line off right off the ball. I mean, they were, you know, the get off was there, the power was there, the speed, the quickness. There was one rep in particular where Josh Allen was in at quarterback. He hiked the ball. Or no, actually, it was Mitchell Trubisky. Hiked the ball. Didn't even get back to the end of his drop before Star Latulele, Harrison Phillips, Boogie Basham, and Greg Rousseau were all in the danger zone, in his mouth, in his face mask. And I think the whistle came in and blew the play dead. And, you know, there was one play where Rousseau had a sack, and I think that, you know, it could have been anybody on the defense that probably would have been in the mix there for the sack had it been a real game situation. when the Bills went back to pass, and you even saw it in teamwork later in practice, and we'll get to that in a few minutes, Josh Allen's day, once they started passing the ball, went up tempo, this defense was affecting the quarterback. And that's a good sign as you start to get the games that actually start meaning something when you can actually hit someone.
Yeah, that's huge. And again, we heard from FAO Body yesterday. He said he was looking forward to Friday against Detroit because it's going to be nice that he can actually hit someone if he gets the opportunity. And when the whistles blow like they did against Trubisky and Allen and anyone else that was in at quarterback, you know, the defensive linemen have to stop right now. So I think they're going to really be – it's going to be a race to the quarterback, just like he said in his press conference. That's another thing to watch on Friday night. How does this pass rush look against the starting offensive line of the Detroit Lions? Can they pressure Jared Goff? Can they pressure the second, third string quarterbacks, get some sacks on the board, get off to a strong start? Real quick tie in the comments. You're right. Christian Wade was out again today, so very good chance he doesn't play on Friday either. So it might just be the Antonio Williams show late in that game. So just wanted to touch upon that real quick because I did see your comment. Yeah, it's encouraging though. But at the same time, Matt, that goes back to my previous comment. Don't play Josh Allen. If your starting offensive line is missing any pieces, if you feel like there's any, I don't see the reason, I guess, to even start him at all this preseason, but if you're going to do it in the last game, do it for a series or two, just to maybe knock any rust that you feel might be there against the Green Bay and then kind of go from there. But we saw what happened last year, 4-0 to start the season. Offense was humming quite along. We've seen it in the scrimmages. We've seen it at some training camp practices. The offense is going to be fine with Josh Allen. Don't risk any kind of injury by putting him in front of a suspect offensive line if you're missing a Deion Dawkins or anything like that this preseason. This year is too important.
PJ, I see your comment / question over on YouTube. We will get to that in a moment. I think it's a fun one. I got it flagged. We'll get to that as we move through the show. But another guy I want to highlight on the defensive line, Harrison Phillips. It's been a quiet camp for him. You know, he put on all of that size, and I think where I think they envision him this year, his main role is maybe in that backup one technique spot. I mean, he put on the size. We talked to Sean McDermott about it. You know, both Saturday practices, there was a ton of reps for him at that one technique, whether it be next to Justin Zimmer, Ed Oliver, Vernon Butler. It seemed like he was lining up over the center. And so we had that to go off of. But he's got the versatility. We know that. He can rush the passer. I thought that there was a couple reps today where he was just really good. It started in one-on-ones. He had a really good rep against, let me find it here, Ike Bucker, who's had a tough couple days. Poor Ike. I don't want to keep picking on him. He had a stop in the backfield against Devin Singletary where he absolutely just, I don't know if it was him winning with his speed or Jameel Douglas just not being very good and whiffing on the block. But however it transpired, by the time I got to it, Phillips had blown by him and Douglas was completely on skates and out of the picture by then. And he met Devin Singletary in the backfield for a tackle for a loss. Few plays later, Harrison Phillips, I think he was going one-on-one with, I want to say it was maybe Jordan Devey, and he ended up getting into the backfield and sacking Josh Allen. So absolutely huge practice for Harrison Phillips, a confidence-building practice for him, and that's a really good sign because, listen, I know I like Justin Zimmer as much as the next guy, and I really think that in a perfect world, you find a roster spot for him. But what I think Harrison Phillips offers you is that versatility, that size at almost 310 pounds now to put him in there and let him take on double teams. And we'll get a chance in these preseason games to see if he can do it at a high level. But if he can, I think that really helps your defensive line.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, if that's what it comes down to in terms of Harrison Phillips versus Justin Zimmer, you do have to consider the importance of having a backup one technique. Justin Zimmer's undersized. That would not be an ideal role for him. He you know, he's athletic, he's fast, but he doesn't have that size. We've heard that Phillips is carrying, he's about 4 pounds heavier, I believe is what he was said, but he's carrying it better. He's a little more muscular. We've seen some pictures this offseason of him as well, and he does. He looks more stout. He looks like his lower body's stronger. He's someone that can push the pocket. Lotulelei is coming back. He's going to be key to this team, but he also had a year off. So it's going to be important early in that year to kind of split those reps up if you can get Harrison Phillips in that lineup. So that's what kind of gives him the edge in the interior of that offensive line, if that's what it comes down to. Now, maybe it comes down to Harrison Phillips versus Vernon Butler, and that's a whole other conversation to have. Maybe Zimmer sneaks on just because of those athletic traits and what he brings, and the fact, you know, he said, I don't want to be remembered for one specific play. He wants to stick around. He's making plays in these one-on-ones. He's making plays in the practices. So maybe his overall play gets him on this roster, and it's not Harrison Phillips versus Justin Zimmer at the end of the day. But if it comes down to that, I can see why the Bills would lean Phillips because of, like you said, the versatility, the ability to take on multiple linemen. And even if he had to move over and play a little bit, he can do that. He's talented enough to do so.
I'm going to pitch it back to you in a moment here, Ryan, to get your next topic du jour that we can dive into from today's practice. But, you know, spend more time enjoying everything that summer has to offer. Less time worrying about getting to the store with Tops. Pick up and delivery. Shop for your groceries online. Choose pickup or delivery. Tops will bring you the groceries right to you. Visit topsmarkets.com to get started. Shout out to Tops, the lovely sponsor of Shout Out Buffalo Bills Football Podcast. What's on your mind, Ryan?
Let's talk tight ends, Matt. It seems like Dawson Knox has been a little bit of a punching bag for some members of the fan base because of the drops. And listen, some drops have been brutal. There's no excusing them. They've been bad. But it sounds like he had a nice day today. It sounds like the free agent addition, Jacob Hollister, had a nice day today. So how about a little bit about the tight ends?
Yeah, I thought this was the most complete practice for the room, for the position group, that tight end room. Dawson Knox, I think I had him at 4 catches throughout the day. I think he had a couple in the up-tempo session that we can get into here in a moment at the end of practice. But, you know, they just looked in sync with Josh Allen. Hollister made 2 catches. Sweeney made 2 catches. And for me, at this stage with that group, what do you want more than anything, Ryan Talbot? You want dependability. You want the plays that are there for them to make it and move on. And like, there was no big time touchdown opportunities for Dawson Knox today, but I'm telling you, you get 4 targets, you make 4 catches. I write that down as a good practice for him. I think that there's a belief in him in the room too, that, you know, he's a higher end run blocker than maybe he even gets credit for. And hearing John Feliciano talk about him, a guy that, he's not going to blow smoke for guys or hold anybody's water. He came out straight up and said, "Matt, yeah, you're a pretty good blocker." And that's high praise coming from a guy that, you know, we saw in the playoffs last year. He wants to run the ball. And so I'll be interested to see how Dawson Knox comes out of the gates here. I think we'll probably see some of him on Friday night, but I think we'll get a really nice look at Jacob Hollister. We've seen on Saturday, he got some nice work in with Mitchell Trubisky. Maybe those two guys can get some a rapport going here early, and that could mean good things for Jacob Hollister as he tries to, you know, carve out a spot for himself on the roster. And then, of course, you know, I'm probably giving Tommy Swede the lead right now if you're talking about that third tight end spot. But don't forget about, you know, got to still talk about Reggie Gilliam in that kind of quasi-hybrid spot. And then, of course, Quentin Morris, who, you know, made some waves in rookie minicamp and, you know, from time to time has made a couple catches during training camp.
Yeah, it's going to be great opportunities for all the players. You just mentioned Nate Becker as well to kind of step up and show what they can do this preseason. But specifically with Knox and Hollister, I love what you said about making the most of the opportunities. This is a pass-first offense. There's no denying that. But generally, the tight end is not the first or the second read. It's going to be Diggs. It's going to be Beasley, Gabriel Davis, Emmanuel Sanders. And then if those wide receivers are locked down, then you look to the tight end. So it's important for them to make the most of those opportunities. This is not Kansas City with Travis Kelce, who's going to get a heavy workload every week, or George Kittle in San Francisco. You're talking about some games where the tight end position overall, Hollister and Knox, might get only 3 to 4 targets overall. If they make those catches and gain those positive yards or move the chains, that's a win for this offense.
Indeed. Let's get into Josh Allen's day. I think that he had wasn't a lot of work early on. They really, like I mentioned, really focused on the run game. The last, I want to say 2 segments is where they went a little bit up tempo and we got a good look at, you know, the passing game. And I will say some defensive backs showing up and making plays, a pass breakup from Levi Wallace, a pass breakup from Taron Johnson. It was a nice ball from Allen to Gabriel Davis, but it was better coverage from Taron Johnson. I wrote about both of those guys that, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time, you know, breaking them down. They've been just solid throughout training camp, but that's a big deal. You want those two guys to be solid because once you get into the season, you want to be able to rely on those guys. We saw how Taron Johnson struggled at the start last year, so much so that Cam Lewis ended up taking his job. And then obviously he made his way back after Lewis was injured, had that great finish to the season, some big time plays that Bills fans aren't soon to forget. But no, Levi Wallace, really good. Taron Johnson, really good. I want to say Allen went 5 for 8 in the up-tempo period. One really good play to Emmanuel Sanders. And it looks like Emmanuel Sanders looked like he was moving well out there, which I think also is important as much as the catch. There was a weird fumble. Allen kind of rolled out. I think it was maybe a broken play. And as he was rolling out, trying to evade the pocket, he fumbled the ball. Very rare mistake for him during training camp. I know he's had a couple picks, but that was something. Knox catch, one of the four that I mentioned. Did I have two here? Oh, no. It was just the one. The Taron Johnson play was intended for Emmanuel Sanders. Then the throw of the day. I'll give you three guesses, Ryan, but I think you're only going to need one. Who do you think was on the receiving end of the throw of the day?
I'm going to go with Jake Kumerow, fan
Look
favorite.
Look at that. I give you three. You only needed one. Touchdown Jesus himself. It was a really nice play. And, of course, I've been talking up Taron Johnson. He was actually in coverage, but it's a mismatch there. Jake Kumerow is huge. He's a bigger body guy. Josh Allen, he went to one look, didn't like the read, saw Jake Kumerow getting some separation there on Taron Johnson. And with the size, it's just all you have to do is put it out there. It was a really nice throw, though. I think I want to say about a 30-yard completion. The next play, Joe Giles Harris. Remember those three names because he's a guy you're going to want to watch throughout training camp. Ryan, I've been really impressed with this guy going back to OTAs as a guy who I wrote about it today, always around the ball. And he's got a knack for making plays. He had an interception, I think, last week. He's had a couple pass breakups. This was a really athletic play where he had to move sideline to sideline a little bit, like a couple yards, made a diving play to break up the pass. Really nice play for Joe Giles Harris.
Yeah, Joe Giles Harris comes in, and he was playing well at the end of last season. I'm interested to watch him on Friday night against Detroit and throughout the other two games this preseason. He is in line to claim one of those reserve linebacker spots. There's a few opportunities to be had there. We've talked about a lot of the candidates. We've talked about Tyrell Adams, who is still a little bit in danger, we've mentioned recently. We've talked about Tyrell Dotson. We know that A.J. Klein is in line to be linebacker number three. But Joe Giles Harris could claim one of those two spots, and he's flashing in practice, flashing at camp. So now it needs to carry over to the preseason. And if he does, there's a chance he makes his 53-man roster. I know you were talking about the offense, but it is promising to hear, Matt, that these secondary players are making some plays here and there. So Taron Johnson, Levi Wallace. We saw the video yesterday of Cam Phillips with the interception going against Isaiah McKenzie. So we're starting to see these secondary players make some plays. We saw the interception that Micah Hyde made it on Saturday with the throw to Stephon Diggs. So as much as the offense has been winning training camp, I guess is the way to put it, they are still flashing and making plays on defense, especially in that secondary. So promising sign here as we start getting closer to actual real live games of football.
We're creeping up on 300, Ryan. Thank you to everybody watching live on YouTube right now. The numbers are absolutely massive. We appreciate you making us part of your late workday here. Make sure you smash that like button, hit the subscribe button. If you're just here for the first time or haven't decided yet, I hope we've given you the kind of content that you want notifications turned on for. That's the coolest thing about YouTube. I really like that feature. And I always check my phone to make sure that I'm getting the notification when we're going to go live. It usually gives you a heads up 30 minutes beforehand. And then once we actually go live, I like that feature on YouTube. If you want to watch us on TV, if you want to watch us on your computer, or your phone, it's always there for you. Let's get back to PJ's questions. I'm going to put it up on the screen here, and I'll let you start off here, Ryan, as I read it. I know this will be hard to answer, but if there's an area of improvement where you can bring in a free agent, who would you bring in to help improve on the Bills right now? Why don't you start us off?
You know, that is a tough question because you look and Zach Moss gets injured today. We've talked about Christian Wade having a shoulder injury, but the running back market's pretty barren right now. You're talking Le'Veon Bell. You're talking LeSean McCoy, who's looking for a winning situation. There's some other veterans out there too. Don't get me wrong. Some veterans that have actually put together some decent seasons, but no one that I would really go there. Wide receivers too stacked. I'm actually having trouble, Matt, coming up with the name. Now, if you want me to go to the old Carolina pipeline, Kawan Short has been cleared. He's another defensive lineman, Matt, and they're pretty stacked there. So I guess if something happens to this defensive line, I think you'd call a Kawan Short and bring him in, and he could pretty much come in from day one and find a role with this team. It's kind of a cop-out answer just because of his experience with McDermott, with Eric Washington. But that's the first name that kind of pops in my head. What about you?
I'm probably going to go to the offensive line. I think a big part of this is what I was already talking about with the fact that they've had some guys out. So maybe I've just been seeing a little bit too much of Caleb Benenock and Tyler Gauthier, two guys that, you know, the Bills signed in recent days here that have come in and have looked like the true definition, no offense to the guys, but camp bodies. You know, they come in, lower-end guys, they're free agents for a reason, and they come in here, and I almost wonder if it's strategic on the Bills' part. You know, they got a lot of young defensive linemen that are in training camp, and reps against guys like that could probably do a lot for your confidence. Jordan Devey is a guy that they've, you know, invested a little bit in just in terms of time. He was here last year. They've spent time developing him. I've been very underwhelmed with him so far in camp. And another update, you know, I think it's I'm at the point now where I'm comfortable declaring practice squad as my expectation for Jack Anderson, the sixth round draft pick, I believe. If I'm remembering back correctly. Yeah. Sixth round draft pick. One of the reps that really caught my eye today, in team drills was Justin Zimmer against Jack Anderson. And I wrote about it, and I, to this moment, I still don't know if it was Zimmer just absolutely winning or if it was Jack Anderson just absolutely losing, but it's been a really tough go for him. And I just think that if I were the Bills right now, you've done that part of it where, you know, you got your young defensive lineman playing pretty well. They seem to be pretty confident. I'd like an uptick in the competition level on the offensive line. Forrest Lamp has been out. He was walking around with, you know, that we mentioned on the show yesterday, this device that was maybe massaging his calf muscles or applying some type of treatment there. And so I'm not sure how long it's going to be till he gets out. And I know that, you know, the free agent market at this point, I mean, it's the free agent market at this point for a reason. So there's probably not a lot out there. So unless you're willing to make a trade, which I don't think the Bills are, I think it's about getting healthy, getting Deion Dawkins back, maybe getting Ike Bucker back to the level that he was playing at last year, and you'll start to see a little bit more competition at the point of attack.
Yeah, those are great points there. Bills News Consolidated, I've seen you mention Brian Poole a few times. He was actually signed recently by the Saints, so he is not on the free agent market. I get the cornerback argument, but I almost think that at this point, coming up with the preseason approaching, I think that any veteran coming in would have a hard time winning the starting job. I think they're very comfortable with Levi Wallace, who right now seems to be in line for that role. I think they're very comfortable having Dane Jackson backing him up. So, you know, there might be some veterans that are out there that they could bring in and then work in later on. But in terms of like week one or making an impact, I'm not sure there are any cornerbacks out there right now.
Yeah, and I think you could go back as we get the it's been a while since we got the horn from Mr. Talbot, who muted his microphone. Oh, I'm so disappointed that gave me some life there. But no, I think you go and look at what the Eagles did giving Steven Nelson a 1-year contract, and it wasn't for crazy money. What was it? I think $2.5 million. You know, the Bills probably could have topped that if they, and that was more of a fit, I think, than maybe a CJ Henderson, who's obviously, we talked about him in detail yesterday and why it's probably not a great fit or worth the Bills' time at this stage of training camp and the preseason about to start to bring in a guy like that, that I think would need a lot of work to get up to speed and what the Bills want their cornerbacks to be. And I don't even know if he's got the traits to be effective immediately to make it worth it. So yeah, I'm off the cornerback train. I think they've spent three seasons developing Cam Lewis, three seasons developing Levi Wallace. They've spent a draft pick on Rashad Wildgoose, who I didn't notice as much yesterday, but I did see some other folks on the beat writing about Wildgoose in practice, liking some of the reps that he took, which is a big deal because I think he's going to get an opportunity to shine on special teams once his preseason games kick off. But if he's having some good reps at cornerback on the outside, I think that's pretty good. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm interested again to watch the cornerback depth, see what they do have there. I think that the Bills can react based on what they see in the preseason. Now, keep in mind, though, the first batch of roster cutdowns, it's coming. I believe it's the Tuesday after this first preseason game, Matt, where they have to trim it down by a few players. Correct me if I'm wrong there, but I think they have to get down to about 85.
A week from today, and I can probably predict that Caleb Benenock is going to be one of those five players.
I hope Caleb Benenock is not watching the show, man.
Yeah, I feel bad. I'm piling on, but I don't think he was ready to come into camp. Like, you know, I don't know if there was any off-season injury, lingering issues, but I'm telling you, he's getting beat 3, 4, 5, 6 times daily, and it's just – it's not a good look. And, you know, you could probably imagine where some of those looks are coming from, which makes it even more interesting to think about. But no, yeah, it's been a tough go for Benenock.
Yeah, and like you said, there's gonna be a few players that I think you can kind of pick off based on how many players they have at certain positions. There could be I'm not saying a surprise name, but maybe someone they want to sneak on the practice squad, and maybe they release them the first batch of names to kind of keep that undercover. I'm not sure if they would do that or not, but there'll be a few names that are released here, and the Bills will be fine going into the second preseason game and so on and so forth. But Benenock's name to watch then. Real quick on Henderson, since his name was brought up. It's a major red flag when a first-round pick from 1 year ago is supposedly on the market. There's got to be more to that story than what we know. Some people are pointing out some of his tweets or some of the things that he liked and things like that, and as alarming. I don't know if there's more to that story or not, but it's odd when someone that was taken that high by a team. I know, different regime, Urban Meyer, it's his first year there, but still, you don't give up on talented players like that that quickly unless there's a reason to do so.
I've seen some defensive backfield action in the comments on YouTube right now. So, you know, let's get into it. Let's go through the depth chart here and talk about maybe some of our thoughts on that secondary piece. Obviously, we know we've kind of covered cornerback pretty intently. I think Levi Wallace is in the driver's seat to be that CB2 after just the performance. But, you know, safety is interesting, Ryan. I mean, you got Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. I doubt we see them for maybe at all, but if we see him at all, probably a series or two on Friday night, then it's interesting. The Bills, I think the next guy, if you were asking me, has been Jaquan Johnson. He's a guy that has spent years in the system. He's the most familiar. I think that when Dean Marlowe left and the Bills kind of letting him leave, I think that if they – I know he probably wanted a chance to start, and that bit was baked into why he went to Detroit. But I think another part of it is that there is a confidence level in Jaquan Johnson to maybe get more of a look now should Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer not be able to play for any reason, if they suffer an injury or whatever the case may be. So I got Jaquan Johnson as the next guy up, and then it's going to be interesting. I think there's three guys there in the mix. Damar Hamlin, who the Bills drafted in the sixth round this year. Tariq Thompson, number 40, who, great observation in the comments. He has been all over highlight videos. He's a guy that – he's a real playmaker. And so is Josh Thomas, a guy that was with the Bills last year on the practice squad. Those two guys have been making plays throughout training camp. So I think – that fourth safety spot, if you figure that Jaquan Johnson, because of his role on special teams, he's always brought up immediately by Heath Farwell. You know, getting down to that final safety is going to be interesting.
I agree with that. Jaquan Johnson, you know, a lot of people forget that when he was first given a chance to play, I want to say it was a meaningless game. I want to say it was the Jets were the opponents. He had an interception, but then it was ruled back because there was a really stupid penalty. Someone hit a blindside block, I believe, on the running back on that play. And I don't know why that's sticking in my memory so well, but he looked the part when he was on the field, and he played a pretty solid game that week. So I think that he's in line, like you said, for that number three spot. And I'm interested to watch the last one, because if there is an undrafted free agent that's going to make this team, I think Tariq Thompson is in the driver's seat to be that guy from this year's undrafted free agent class. He has flashed. He has looked good at times. I think that if he doesn't, he's one of those players that they're going to covet and try to get immediately onto that practice squad and hope that he clears, which there's a good chance he will. There's no actual NFL tape on him. He didn't get drafted this year for a reason. There had to be a reason why teams didn't call his name. So, but he's definitely in the mix and one of those players that's easy to root for based on the fact that he was overlooked for some reason in this year's draft.
This was another great edition of the post-camp practice podcast. We appreciate you, whatever platform you're watching on, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, for joining our show. This is the Shout Buffalo Bills Football Podcast. Smash that like button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe before you go. If you found us on Facebook, make sure you like our page, Buffalo Bills on NY Up, and we will be back tomorrow for the last practice before we get to Detroit on Friday. Ryan and I are both going to be hitting the road, heading up to Detroit, Michigan for the game against the Lions. Apparently, their starters are expected to play. Maybe probably more than what I would expect the Bills starters to play. But Sean McDermott did say today some starters will play this weekend. We'll hear from Sean tomorrow. We're brought to you by Tops Friendly Markets. Tops loves local. Tops is proud to partner with over 200 local growers to supply Tops with their freshest homegrown fruits and vegetables produced and picked this morning. Can be on your table tonight. For Ryan Talbot, I am Matt Perino. See everybody tomorrow.